thoroughly enjoyed it every time. Everyone's always been so kind to us. We're staying back in the prophet's chamber in the back of the church, very comfortable, very well taken care of. And so we really appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, as a missionary, I enjoy going to the missions conferences and hearing the keynote speakers. But one of the things I don't get to hear is hear the pastors preach. And so I got to hear Pastor Pease preach this morning, and I really enjoyed that. And I just appreciate what you all are doing here in the community of Elizabeth City. So many of you who we've had a really great special connection with. This morning in Sunday school, I was able to give a little bit of an update to some folks about our work over in Cambodia. And we were able to share some of that with you earlier this year. But for those of you who weren't in that class this morning, we are getting ready to head back over to Cambodia soon. Our baby is due in February, mid-February, and so once the baby's born, Lord willing, as long as everything goes smoothly with that, once we can get our passport and paperwork together, we'll be heading back over to Cambodia this upcoming spring, and we're excited about that. We're actually moving from our previous ministry location where we were for the last several years, where we were working with another missionary family, working with an established church there. We are actually getting ready to move to a new ministry location, a city near the Vietnamese border called Mae Mot. And it is a place where, to our knowledge, there is no gospel witness. There is no Christian church of any sort in this town of about 20,000 people. So there's definitely a need for the gospel to be preached there. And we believe the Lord has led us very clearly to this location. So when we go back over to Cambodia, our plan is to move to that town, get established there, start preaching the gospel by God's grace, try to get a church started there. So we definitely appreciate your prayers in that endeavor. Getting something new started is never easy, and it's a place where many people, as we found when we went to survey that location, are not even familiar with the name of Jesus Christ. And so we're starting really from scratch with a lot of people, and so we know a lot of what we'll be doing is trying to sow those seeds and water those seeds and trust that the Lord will give the increase in His time. But thankful for so many of you who I know pray for us on a regular basis. We did bring some new prayer cards, which we did not get to you earlier this year. This has our whole family on it. As of now, it will be obsolete soon. But you can take one of these as a prayer reminder if you'd like that. Also, we showed an update video earlier this year in February at the Missions Conference. If you'd like to check out that video again or see any of our other media and such, we do have a website, browns2cambodia.com. And so if you want to check that out, it's got some different pictures, some videos, our latest ministry update, another longer video about religion in Cambodia. If you're interested in know more, be able to pray more informatively, Browns to Cambodia. And so you could go and view that there at your convenience. But we are very, very thankful for you all and the part you've had in our ministry. If you take your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I think all of us know Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story, the story of Christ's birth, and something we get to give a special emphasis to this time of year. I'd like to read later in the chapter, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, as we look at a man by the name of Simeon. Luke chapter 2, and verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we have come here, Lord, to hear from you. And so I pray that you'd use this scripture, you would use this message to speak to us, to meet with us. Pray that you would direct my heart, my thoughts, my words, to say those things which you would have me to say, to bring the message which you would have me to bring. I pray that you would convict our hearts where we need convicting, and speak to us and direct us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work among us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This meeting with Simeon takes place after the birth of Jesus Christ. He had his Mary and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem. We're all familiar with what happened. Christ was born there. And after 8 days after he had been born, according to Jewish custom, it was time to circumcise him, give him his name. And then later they would take him to the temple and give an offering to the Lord. And as they traveled from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, there's a man there in the temple by the name of Simeon. He's a man who loved the Lord, a man who had lived a long life, who had been looking for the coming of the Messiah. And God had given him the assurance that he would get to see the Messiah before he passed away. And so God has directed him to be there at this very time as Mary and Joseph are bringing baby Jesus into the temple to dedicate him, to give him give this special offering. And Simeon, with the Holy Ghost upon him, takes the child Jesus and begins to speak these prophetic words about what Jesus was going to do. In verse 29, he said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And in a word, he's giving the mission statement of Jesus Christ. He was come to be God's salvation, not just to the people of Israel, but also a light to lighten the Gentiles, all people of the earth. And it's interesting that this is the very first place in the New Testament where we find this mention that Jesus would be a blessing to the Gentiles. And I'm thankful for that because I'm a Gentile, and I'm glad that God's salvation has come to me and to my family and to so many of us. And he looks at Jesus, and of course, Mary and Joseph were astonished at what he said in this prophecy. But he goes on, and this is what I'd like for us to really focus on tonight. Verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." As he spoke to Mary, he said, this child is set. This child, Jesus Christ, is set up. He has been put in place for a specific reason. And we use this word all the time, a similar word, and when we talk about Jesus Christ, he was the anointed one. He had been set up and put for a special purpose. And yet what he says here is not necessarily the first thing we think of when we think of Jesus Christ, perhaps. He said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." And that's what I'd really like for us to think about this evening, the fall and rising again of many in Israel through Jesus Christ. What is Simeon talking about here when he said this child, Jesus Christ, is set? He's been put in place to cause many in Israel to fall. He's set for the fall of many in Israel. Hold your place right there in Luke, and let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 8, and I believe it will shed some light on what he's talking about here. I think all of us are familiar with what it means to fall in a physical sense. You trip on something, you lose your balance, you fall down. Not a pleasant experience generally. Isaiah chapter 8, starting in verse 14. says, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." This idea of a stone of stumbling comes up so often when we talk, when there's prophecies about Jesus Christ, and he's talked about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This idea of people stumbling and falling down. You know, when Jesus Christ was sent into this world, he was so different than anything the world had ever known. He was God in the flesh. He was the perfect man. Can you imagine what it must have been like to interact with Jesus Christ? Because no matter how ugly you were to him or how righteous you thought you were with him, Jesus Christ always said the right thing. He was never self-righteous or judgmental. He always did the right thing. And as Jesus Christ in perfect righteousness and holiness walked on this earth, just his existence and the things he did and the things he said was a reproach to the wickedness of this world. Everybody, and we see this across the board, everybody who ever came in contact with Jesus Christ was impressed with their own wickedness, whether they wanted to admit it or not. Bad people realized, "I am a sinner." Good people realized, "I am a sinner." Think about Peter. One of Peter's first interactions with Jesus Christ. He took Christ out into his boat, and Jesus commanded him to throw out the net on, and there was a great catch of fishes. And as it dawned on Peter who Jesus Christ is, what did he say? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter was probably a pretty moral type of guy, a hardworking fisherman, but the instant he realized who Jesus Christ was, he was impressed with his own wickedness. And we see that for everyone, and many people, when they encountered the righteousness of Jesus Christ that cast a light upon their own wickedness, they hated Jesus Christ for that. And we see that reaction of so many. And I think this is why Simeon, in his prophecy back in Luke chapter 2, he used this word. He said that this child will be a sign which shall be spoken against. A sign which shall be spoken against. Once again, holding our place in Luke 2, turn over to John chapter 3. These are familiar verses. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And we see so many people who reacted negatively against Jesus. And we say, why was that? It was because they recognized their sin, and that made them uncomfortable. They didn't want to come face to face with their own wickedness, the things that they had done wrong, to be honest before the face of God, and they spoke against Jesus. He was a sign to be spoken against. He was a stumbling block, something for them to stumble and to fall. And we see people from across the spectrum, from the Pharisees, somehow were able to find common ground with the pagan Roman governor to oppose Jesus. He was a sign who was spoken against because he was righteous, and that righteousness cast a spotlight upon people's wickedness. Look back in Luke 2 once again. He said he set the fall of many. He's a sign which shall be spoken against. And in verse 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." And all these things he's talking about, these are negative. He's talking about the reaction of the world to Jesus. The reaction of the world to Jesus. Many would fall. He was a sign which should be spoken against. A sword. And Jesus referenced this. So often when we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, we think about the message of the angels that they talked about peace on earth. And praise God, that will be the ultimate end of what Jesus has come to do. When he comes to rule and reign, there will be peace on earth. But when Jesus walked upon this earth, the world, what did he say? You don't have to turn there. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And Jesus Christ coming into the earth was a polarizing event. It divided those who would accept Christ from those who would reject Christ. And it led to this opposition to the point where Simeon could say to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul. And I believe that scripture was fulfilled as Mary had to stand on Mount Calvary and watch her son suffer and die for the sins of the world. A sword pierced through her soul. And this was the ultimate reaction of the world, the ultimate revelation of how the wicked world felt about Jesus Christ coming and his perfect righteousness casting a light upon their wickedness. And one way or another, this meeting with Jesus Christ, nobody could see Christ, nobody could meet Christ and keep on going the way they had gone. He was a stone of stumbling. It's as if there was an enormous millstone in the middle of this aisle. You cannot walk down the aisle and just pretend like it's not there. It will have to change you somehow. And so many of the people, as they encounter Jesus, and this is not just in Jesus' day, this is right now, here today, as they encounter Jesus and his claims of who he is, the Son of God, righteous, holy, without sin, they too find that Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling. As they react against that, and they are unwilling to come to terms with their sinfulness. What about us? Can we look on Jesus Christ, the holiness of God, and still be comfortable about our own sin? Continue to consider ourselves as righteous? Boast of our own goodness? Now, I want us to see something. It's very true that Jesus Christ was set up for the fall of many, but he says he was set up for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So hold your place once again. Sorry, we're turning around a lot this evening. 1 Peter chapter 2. And Peter here, he's quoting Old Testament scriptures, some of which we read just a moment ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so Peter, talking to believers here, he says, look, Jesus Christ becomes a stumbling block to some people. Yes, why? Because they are disobedient. Because they refuse to believe. And that rejection of Jesus Christ, that stumbling, that falling of Jesus Christ, is what will ultimately destroy them. But he says, unto you which believe, he is precious. So the ones who fall are those who encounter Christ and are unwilling to accept, unwilling to come to terms with who he is and who they are. Folks, all of us need to have a day when we fall. Every one of us needs to have a day when we come face to face with Jesus Christ. We see that he is righteous and perfect and right, and we are wrong. And each one of us has turned aside to our own way. Each one of us have done things that grieve the heart of God. Each one of us has to need, he's to have that day of falling, but who is he talking about? He says, who rises up? Christ was set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. By God's grace, those who believe in Jesus Christ, after we have fallen at his feet and realized our sin and his righteousness, we can be raised up in new life and in righteousness. Verse many of us have heard before, I'm sure. Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And this is the only way of salvation. It's for us to come to Jesus Christ, full of sin, to fall before him, and then be raised up by his power in new life with a new heart, cleansed from sin in righteousness. Even after we've believed in Jesus Christ, I think there are many days when we still need to fall at Jesus' feet. Because as we walk with Christ and we encounter him, many times he turns a spotlight on the wickedness of our heart. And our temptation as humans is to try to push that spotlight away, just as so many did when Christ was here. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to know about it. They were more comfortable going on the way they had. And yet, as Christ turns a spotlight on sinful ways in our hearts and in our lives, when we are honest with him, when we fall before him in sorrow and repentance, Jesus Christ can raise us up again in new power and righteousness to live a life that's acceptable to him. And the very thing that causes the world to stumble to us is precious. It's the thing that builds us up. It's the thing that gives us life. Christ is risen, and so we can rise with him. Look back to Luke chapter 2. We see the reaction of the world. They fell, they stumbled at who Christ was and what he had to say. But we see the resurrection of the obedient. That is to say, for those of us who are willing not to push away, but to be honest with the Lord about our sinfulness, there is salvation, there is renewal. Even as Christians, when we come many times again and again, when we're honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord, he can cleanse us from those sins and raise us up again. One more thought in this verse. Verse 35, a sword shall pierce through thy own heart, soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The revelation of thoughts. One of the things we see so often as people met Christ is that their thoughts were revealed. The very things that were in their heart were made manifest, were shown forth. Hold your place there, Hebrews chapter 4. When we meet Jesus Christ, the secrets of our heart are revealed. Of course, they're known to God, but many times that encounter with Christ is what reveals them, even to ourselves. Hebrews 4 and chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And as we come to Jesus Christ, and we come to him in prayer, and we come to him in his word, the thing that Jesus Christ wants to do is to make our thoughts known, to open up our hearts, to reveal these things, just as Simeon said that he would do. You know, we cannot truly know ourselves until we meet Jesus Christ. Before we know Christ, we are living in sin and we think it's normal and we think it's fine and we think it's no problem. And then when Jesus Christ brings that conviction into our hearts, suddenly we realize things as they truly are. And it's like a light has been shed into our soul. And Jesus Christ reveals those thoughts to us. Here in this verse, it talks about how the Word of God does that. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many times, God even uses circumstances in our life to bring out those things that are within us. And sometimes those things that are within us are ugly. And it's a chance for us once again to fall before Christ and be raised up again in power and newness. A precious verse in Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dare we pray that prayer? To come to Jesus Christ in honesty, say, Lord, search my heart. Show me the wickedness in my own heart so I can make it right. Help me not to stumble at the things that you show me that's in my own heart. Sinful habits, sinful thoughts, sinful ways that I have. Reveal them to me, not so that I may stumble at them, not so that I may try to justify them, but that I may fall before you and make it right and be raised again by your power. We see for those people who lived in Jesus' time, those who stumbled at Christ's word were the ones who were not willing to receive what he had to say. And that's true for us, friends. If you've never had this time when you've fallen before Christ, when you have truly realized your wickedness before Jesus Christ, that is where new life starts. It's a thing we want to push away. We don't like it because it's uncomfortable, and God searches our hearts and we see how wicked we are, and yet that is the start of new life. And for those of us who know the Lord, that is the path of victory and of blessing. To let Christ search our hearts, though it's uncomfortable, though we don't like what we see, that's our chance to make it right with the Lord. One more verse, and we'll close with this. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse 17. And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus Christ coming into this world changed this world forever. And everybody in the world must encounter in honesty who Jesus Christ is. And how we choose to react to that determines whether Jesus Christ becomes a stone of stumbling to us or whether he becomes the chief cornerstone and he is precious and he is the one upon which our life is founded. And so my encouragement to you and how the Lord has convicted me with this, let's ask the Lord to search our hearts, so that we can truly deal with sin in our own lives. So often our inclination is to try to justify it, to try to cover it up, to try to avoid that time in prayer when the Lord might put his finger on it. And yet what is needed is for us to fall before Christ, though that fall may be unpleasant. And as Simeon said, he set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, that we might have that holiness of life and that power in the Holy Spirit. So for us, will we stumble or rise as we encounter the perfect and unchanging Christ? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you came into this earth and changed things forever. Thank you that you are holy and perfect and without sin. I thank you,